I've been frightened before, but not like this. It's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. It's a hunka-hunka burning Medicare podcast. He's making America great again. Medicare expert, Doug Jones.
Hey, I wish my phone wasn't ringing, but I'm so happy to be able to talk to our audience rather than answer some stupid telemarketer. So thank you for joining us. This is Doug Jones, as Drew McMillan, our erstwhile announcer, just said. I am your Medicare expert for today and hopefully for always. Thank you very much for joining the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. We're so happy to have you with us. And this is a special day. If I had a noisemaker and a party hat, I would be wearing them and using them. And I might be the only person, except for perhaps Randy, who cares about this, but it is our episode 100. I see Randy jumping around in his office now. He's celebrating big time.
Yay! Yay!
So there, that's about the end of our party. But I do want to say that in commemoration of our 100th episode, which nobody but Randy and I care about, I thought I'd read the latest statistics I got from our podcast host. Our podcast host tells me where people are listening. We know that the vast majority are in the United States because the nature of our subject matter is germane only to United States citizens and pretty much only to citizens of a certain age. So that's where the majority is coming from. There is a substantial minority in Canada listening to this podcast, and I don't know why. So I would normally be very suspicious that it's all my relatives, but in this case, it's too many downloads to be my relatives. I don't have that many relatives in Canada, mostly my sister, her husband, and her three kids, and then the other family members, the hangers-on of the husband's family that we see at various events, like in Drew McMillan's wedding to his lovely bride last August, a year ago August. There are a whole bunch of Canadians, and we went up for the wedding, and so we stay in touch with these people, but I don't think most of those people are listening to the podcast, so we must have expats in Canada listening to our podcast. Then the other places in this particular report are France. We have listeners in France, in the United Kingdom. Now, that kind of makes sense because the lingo is the same. And then in Japan, to a smaller extent, and Malaysia. So that is my report of our listeners and their geographical distribution. There is no explanation for it. I cannot understand it, but I'm hoping that they enjoy this 100th episode as much as Randy and I will. Randy has turned his mic off so that whatever he's doing doesn't intrude on our sound. So the whole thing is up to me. But that's okay because we have promised to get after our Medicare subject matter sooner in the episode. So as opposed to the last episode, which was all about the possible success or tragedy that appealing your Medicare decisions could be, this is a little bit lighter. You might have remembered, or you might remember that I have been carrying on a back and forth correspondence with a listener named Steve. And Steve has been a master at coming up with questions, and he has kept me jumping. So I've always enjoyed seeing his name on a piece of correspondence. Unfortunately, the last piece of correspondence that he sent to me was early in September, and he asked a question that I could not answer. His question basically was, why are there so many confusing plans, and how did this happen, and is the government out to get me because I'm easily confused? And then he brings in the Part D donut hole thing, and he just, his question is basically, I think, a last gasp at trying to get me to do some research for him. I've speculated that he has a lot of time on his hands. I've speculated he might be a college student writing a thesis. I've speculated that he uses me as a hobby. Oh, I'm bored today. I think I'll ask Doug a question. But I think he's out of questions. So I did enough research to just give him a germ of a thought. And I thought I would share that with the audience for our podcast. So basically, he asked me why the government, why Medicare has all of these plans. And I'm going to narrow the scope to Medicare supplement plan. That's the whole answer would be different if we're talking about Medicare Advantage plans. Medicare supplement plans were devised in accordance with a government mandate back in the 80s that allowed insurance companies to create Medicare supplement plans to supplement Medicare benefits. In other words, everybody recognized that there were gaping holes in Medicare. There were certain things that Medicare wasn't going to pay for. And so people, insurance companies wanted to sell products that would plug those holes, and people wanted to purchase products that would plug those holes. Most of the products are fairly reasonably priced. And so basically, there was an act passed on July 22nd, maybe signed into law on July 22nd, 1987, called the Baucus Amendment, B-A-U-C-U-S. The General Accounting Office, the GAO, basically was ordered to set up standards to protect the elderly from substandard and overpriced Medicare supplement insurance policies, which are designed to pay for expenses that Medicare will not reimburse. They found that the Baucus Amendment, which established minimum requirements for state regulation of insurance policies marketed to the elderly, was meeting its objectives. So I don't know exactly what the time frame of all this was, but basically this was oversight of the conditions that were created by the Baucus Amendment. So all but three states have Medicare supplement plans that are identical in structure. Those three states are Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Massachusetts. They have their own Medicare supplement plans that are designed with their own benefits in mind. I don't know what the story is behind those plans, but they stand out as being a little different. The rest of the states, the rest of the 47 states plus District of Columbia, have Medicare supplement plans that are identical to each other. They pay the same benefits no matter where the person is. In other words, a plan G sold in Arizona is exactly the same as a plan G sold in Illinois or a plan G sold in California. So that, to me, simplifies Medicare supplements. But Steve writes and says that he's frustrated. Why are there all these plans? And then he says he's weirded out by it. All right, well, that makes me worry a little bit. Fortunately, he doesn't know where I live. And if he did, there's a dead deer waiting for him, because frankly, that's my problem I've got to solve after this episode is over. And then we have the Part D donut hole thing that Steve mentions as being an additional confusing factor. So basically what we've got are his confusion with Medicare supplement plans, which date back to the 1980s. And if he looks up the Baucus Amendment, he's going to find his answers, I think. And then the Part D donut hole thing I have solved, if he went back and read my book carefully, he would find that nobody needs to care about the Part D donut hole. This is a construction element of the plan that people buy to pay for their prescription drug. So it's a PDP, a prescription drug plan. The donut hole was a method of allowing the plan to not spend so much money and therefore not be as expensive, but yet it left a lot of the cost of the drugs burdened upon the insured person. So basically the insured person has a small upfront deductible, and then they get most of their drugs paid for, and if they're on the plan and spend enough money, they eventually fall into what they call the donut hole, which means the insured person is spending more money out of pocket for some period of time. It's a real complex mess. My solution, if you read my book, when you need a prescription drug plan, is to go to the government website, and I give the URL in the book. You go to the government website, You tell it what your drugs are. You tell it where you like to get your prescriptions filled, whether it be mail order, whether it be a specific drugstore. And you tell it exactly what drugs you're taking. Once you've put all that information into the government website, and I suggest that people take a stiff drink because it's going to take a while if you're taking any amount of drugs at all, then the plans that are available to you will be listed in order of cost. And by cost, I mean what you would spend out of pocket from January 1st to December 31st for a given year. And so the least expensive plan would be the one you would want to choose. Out of 30-some plans that are available to me, I think I have the second or third least expensive because I'm familiar with that company. I feel comfortable with them. But I don't care about the deductibles of the plan. I don't care about the donut hole. It doesn't affect me. What happens is I am told by that website how much I'm going to have to spend out of my pocket during the course of the year, and I choose my plan to minimize that out-of-pocket expense. So I might pay nothing in January, February, and March, but I might hit that donut hole in August or September. All right, so at the end of the year, the prediction is that I will have spent a certain amount of dollars out of my pocket. Doesn't matter if they come sooner in the year or later in the year. The donut hole is not a thing I think about or worry about. But for Steve, he might want to actually pick up my book again. I believe he told me once that he bought my book and read it. So he might want to look at the part of the book, Chapter 9, where I tell people how to pick out and purchase their own prescription drug plan. And then he might want to research the Baucus Amendment, because that will explain, I think, how Medicare supplement plans came to be. But now here's some bad news for Steve. And I really hate to do this because I've come to think of him as a friend. He's very much like Randy. He's Mr. Curious, always has a couple of questions. And Randy's always trying to stump me, which sounds kind of disgusting. But Steve has never said that. He just asks a lot of questions. I have a missive, an email from somebody named Mike. And frankly, this guy could be my new best friend, because he said, first of all, I want to say I purchased your book and loved it! Exclamation point. It was money well spent. He said, I left a 5-star rating on Amazon this morning, along with some great comments. And I did go to Amazon, and he did leave a very, very nice review. So thank you, Mike. And then he goes on to say, here's the bad news for Steve. He says, I have also been listening to you and Randy on the podcasts. Tell Steve to step aside. Mike is here. So I'm thinking Mike might now be our new favorite correspondent. So then I read on. Mike says, I'll be filing for Medicare next year, and I'm trying to determine if I should opt for the high deductible Plan G or not. I have to visit the allergist monthly to get 2 injections. My employer retiree Medi-Cal insurance, which ends next year when I turn 65, is with Blue Cross Blue Shield. And the prescription drugs are through Express Script. My EOB, my explanation of benefits from the Blues, Blue Cross Blue Shield, lists the following breakdown for each monthly office visit. He's got some allergies, but he's got huge expense in dealing with injections that he takes for his allergies, thousands of dollars a month. Now he goes on to say, I've been trying to determine if this would fall under Part D or Part G. And I think what he means is Part D, meaning are these drug expenses, or Plan G, meaning would Medicare plus his Medicare supplement cover these expenses that he incurs every month. I just read an article from a leading consumer magazine that I received yesterday, and there was an editorial comment I found interesting, and I thought you would find it interesting too, living out there in the dry heat. I don't think I copied that, or he forgot to send it or something. So I have 4 questions. He says, are injections considered to be prescription drug that falls under Part D? Question number 2, about where is the cost breaking point, the break-even point, I think he means, between choosing a high deductible or a Cadillac plan? In the book, I say that the full-blown expensive plans are Cadillac plans, the high deductible plans are like high-powered Pontiac GTOs. Number three, what are my options if an insurer drops my injectable drug in the middle of the year for Part D or Part G? And I think he means Plan G here. And his fourth question, when is South Carolina going to go green on your map? So, Mike, my new favorite correspondent. Hi, Mike. This is what I said to Mike. Thank God for medical science, huh? Imagine how miserable we would feel without some sort of treatment for conditions like you are burdened with. I hope the injections are effective and allow you to avoid any suffering. Based on the fact that your injections are administered in the doctor's office, I suspect that they would be treated as a Medicare Part B expense. Your doctor or his staff should be able to tell you how this would be billed if you had Medicare and a supplement. You should ask the next time you have an opportunity. If it will be billed to your Part B coverage, as I suspect, it will be paid at 80% after the annual deductible, which this year is $198, let's say $200. That leaves your supplement to pick up the balance of the charges. Plan G will pay everything that is Medicare approved except for that annual deductible of $200. That makes it a no-brainer choice for the best supplement for your situation. Under these circumstances, your out-of-pocket expenses would total $198 per year plus the monthly premium of Part B, which would be $144.60 this year for most, and whatever the premium for your Plan G and your drug plan will be. That's the extent of your expenses. And it's not pretty, but it's not as bad as most Obamacare plans for those under 65 yet. So in one way, you are luckier than some. You can see into the future of your medical expenses, and your decision involves no uncertainty. Others have to roll the dice and hope for the best. Since you mentioned the potential trouble with Part D coverage, I did some research and suggest you might review this entry from Medicare.gov, and I sent him a link as to how to appeal negative decisions with prescription drug coverage. I have a friend who has carried similar appeal forward to the last step with partial success, actually not the last step, to the third of five steps. With partial success, and he's not even thought about hiring a lawyer. I think Mike said he didn't want to hire a lawyer. I think the appeal system is designed for the layman to navigate for the most part. So as to your questions, he had four questions. Number one, I don't think so, but ask your doctor for a definitive answer. So his question number one was, are injections considered to be a prescription drug that falls under Part D? I don't think so. I think his office visits to the doctor for injections will fall under Medicare Part B, which works out better for Mike. Question number two, normally the break-even point between Medicare Supplement Plan G and Plan High Deductible G would be around $11,700, but you are way above that because he's paying thousands every month. So Plan G supplement is your best choice by far. Number three, if your injectables will be paid by Part B, your Part D drug plan selection will become a much simpler process, and I will be happy to help with all of this stuff when the time is right. Meaning when he gets to be within about 3 months of the month in which he turns 65. If you're listening, Mike, which I hope you are, I will be happy to act as your agent and help you acquire all of these coverages if you wish. Question number four, the most important part to me, because this is what Randy and I spend our days thinking about. South Carolina and most other states will be turning green very shortly. Now, I wrote this back on the 11th of September. If I'm not mistaken, South Carolina is already green. Am I correct, Randy?
South Carolina is the brightest green you could ever possibly want to see. There's so many states that are green now, Doug. I actually have to look at the map with my sunglasses on.
That's a fantastic thing. We can bring so much more happiness. Remember back in the days when none of the states were green and we used to have to turn down people that wanted our help?
Oh, I know. It just killed me to turn people down because obviously they wanted your help. And we weren't, at least then, able to do it. But now we can. The only thing slowing me down from turning the rest of the country green is I have to take some time to drive there and put our flag in the ground.
Well, I love road trips. So if you come anywhere near Illinois, swing by the house here. Don't run over the dead deer laying in the
air. Oh my God! Can you imagine if I hit that thing? I'd have to sell the car.
You've given me an idea, and I'm going to go to the dynamite store this afternoon and see if I can't find a way to get rid of it.
Oh my God! Can you imagine a flying deer going over your house?
Well, I can if it keeps going. That wouldn't be a bad thing.
So I've got a couple. We're again, believe it or not, we're out of time.
Well, and you do have questions, though, and
I do have questions, but you already touched on one of them. I began to think I was the only guy in this area of the United States that didn't know what the donut hole was, but now you explained it, so I don't need to touch on that. But one thing I do want to say, Doug, is I wanted to congratulate you on your 100th episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, because you have done a fabulous job. You keep doing a fabulous job, and you only get better as we go forward. So I congratulate you. You've done a great job. And people don't know how much work that Doug puts into this thing, because it sounds easy, but believe me, he does a lot of research behind the scenes. If you remember, you know, back in your old hometown, there was always an insurance guy that everybody went to. There was no questions asked if you wanted, you know, this insurance, that insurance, and the other insurance. There was always one guy there that everybody went to.
I remember that.
Yeah.
He was my next-door neighbor.
I do, too. Yeah, I remember that. It was Strong's Insurance back in, you know, Nebraska. But anyway, long story short, is I want the people on this podcast to really believe that Doug Jones is your hometown insurance agent, because I know him pretty well now after working with him for 3 years. And the guy's the real deal. He's from Oklahoma, and he won't steer you wrong. So anyway, Doug, congratulations.
Well, thank you very much, but it wouldn't have been possible without your efforts and your skill at managing all of the technical aspects of this whole effort, this process. And behind turning those states green, it sounds like fun. Oh, let's hop in the car and go plant our flag in Montana or whatever. But in reality, there are some factors to doing this that allow us to serve people well. And you're mired in the detail of making those things happen. So thank you for your efforts. And Margaret has contributed greatly to our success here. And it can only get better and better as more people find out that we're here to help them.
So, you are very welcome, Mr. Jones. The other thing I wanted to kind of tie up today is, you know, I begin to sound like probably I've repeated this several times, but I know each podcast there's new people listening. So don't pass go. Do not collect $200. Get on your mouse, get on your computer, and go to Amazon.com. Pick yourself up a copy of Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020, either in paperback, electronically, or however you want to get it, or go to Barnes & Noble and do the same thing, because it's going to be well worth the cost, well worth the expenditure, and you will not think anything else. You could probably pass it to your neighbors after you're done, but bottom line is get it, read it, and pay attention to what Doug says, because it's the truth.
Well, thank you for those kind words, and I guess we're pretty much out of steam, as you said before. You always say we're out of gas. I'd like to think of it as steam.
Steam. Okay. We can go for steam. Yeah, we can go. I'll tell you the story of steam locomotives here one of these days. But anyway, long story short, is we probably should sign off. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. We enjoy it just as much as you do. But we wouldn't have nearly as much fun if you weren't here, because that's why we're here, is to try to guide you along the way to Medicare success, and specifically with supplement, not Medicare disadvantage.
We'll see you at episode 101.
That's right. That's right. 101's coming up next week. So anyway, thank you so much. And in the meantime, you have spent just about 32 and a half minutes listening to Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma, the Oklahoma kid, and sole proprietor of MedicareForTheLazyMan.com.
Bye-bye.